You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is hour number two, Roto Experts in the Morning, sponsored by DX Racer. And remember, if you are just getting into DFS, the time is now to go to Fantasy Factor because it is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. It's free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. The Eagles yesterday, you were talking about them just a moment ago, Scotty. And the Eagles defeated Denver, well, by quite a bit, 51-23. And we spoke about the Broncos a moment ago, right, what Brock Osweiler did. And Demaryius Thomas finally gets off the schneid. We spoke about that. And the running game is the one we wanted to get back to. Devontae Booker led this team in rushing, quote-unquote. 6 carries for 21 yards. C.J. Anderson had 9 for 13, left the game, came back. Jamal Charles had 4 carries and 1 yard on those 4 carries. It's a mess, Corey.
Yeah, it's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving pieces, a situation that if you're involved in, every week's a guessing game. But the only guy that's really startable is Anderson.
Yeah, I don't even know if I want to start him.
Yeah, exactly.
9 carries for 13 yards. I don't know if I can do it. Paxton Lynch, they're saying, probably will start the following week. And you wonder if they were going to go younger running back and Corey's prediction is going to come true. You'll look to the future with Paxton Lynch and Devontae Booker. I could see that happening.
I mean, the offense has been, suboptimal, and that defense got shredded. So, this is a team trending downward with 4 consecutive losses.
Yeah. It's definitely a team headed in the wrong direction.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Please do.
Is the Alshon Jeffrey buy low kind of window out? I know there's a buy. There's a buy this week, so maybe with, Evans getting suspended, AJ Green. But after that buy, that's a beautiful schedule.
Yeah, buy low is gone, because he scored twice yesterday. So I think those who have Alshon Jeffrey are going to demand something significant in return. I think, the Eagles are, they're drawing a lot of buzz right now, and that'll translate, it'll bleed into fantasy.
I really love this schedule.
Yeah, their schedule is good. Obviously, going forward for the Eagles, Jay Ajayi, 8 carries, 77.
What do you like about the schedule?
Well, look who they face afterwards: at Dallas, Chicago, at Seattle, at the Rams, at the Giants, and Oakland. I mean, at Seattle is, but Seattle defense.
And what about Minnesota though? Don't they play Minnesota?
No, I just told you the teams they played.
I think you made that part up, Scotty.
Okay.
you don't trust what I'm saying to you?
No, I could have sworn I thought that they played Minnesota, but I guess I was wrong.
They do not. It's Dallas, Chicago, Seattle, Los Angeles, New York, Oakland, and then Dallas in week 17 again. There's no Minnesota on the schedule, so a lot to like for the 8-1 Philadelphia Eagles here. JJ looked amazing, I thought, in 8 carries, 77 yards, mm-hmm. and a touchdown. Bye week, he'll be the main ball carry going forward. Corey, is LeGarrette Blount droppable now?
I don't think LeGarrette Blount is droppable just yet.
Bye week here? I could do it. I could measure. We'll come back. What do we do? Adrian Peterson, the most carries of his career. It happened. We'll talk about it on YouTube next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
What's up, YouTube? My name is Greg Salzman. This is Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. That's the King, Scott Angle, Wall Street Matt Modica, here live with you. This is the Roto Experts presented to you by DX Racer. And we wanted to chat about the renaissance that is Adrian Peterson, who, gentlemen, had the most carries in a single game of his career on Sunday in Arizona's victory over San Francisco, a 20-10 victory. 37 carries, 159 yards, and we're all shaking our heads in disbelief, but I feel like everyone kind of liked Adrian Peterson this week. Like, this wasn't that big of a surprise.
You had to like Adrian Peterson this week. What's crazy is the four game with the Saints, 27 rushing attempts. The previous two games with Arizona, 37 rushing attempts. And then yesterday, a career high of 37 attempts. Hey, you look, you had him yesterday. It's kind of scary. In 4 days, he's playing again. But I want to say sell high. And at this point, like we said, I think Scott makes a good point. Looking at the schedule now, I think it makes a lot of sense when you really need to pay attention. And if you have him, it's kind of hard for me to sell. I mean, I would sell high, but I'm not just giving, you know, I'm not just making a trade to make a trade.
Yeah. I think rather than sell, I think there's the word shop. You don't have to buy, but you can shop. So you see what you can get. It's interesting because Peterson over the weekend was interviewed by NFL.com, and this game came on the anniversary of his 296 career game 10 years ago. And, you know, he was talking about, oh, man, I left some yards on the field in that one. Now, look, San Francisco by far was the worst against running backs in fantasy football. But, you know, you look at Peterson, he's still, from a scouting perspective, he's still not quite as powerful and as authoritative as he was in his prime, but kind of like a baseball pitcher who doesn't throw, you know, in the mid to high 90s anymore and, you know, becomes craftier. Peterson is changing his game in these two big games that he's had. He's running very hard and determined. He's still got some cutback, and he's still got some great vision. Not all the traits are there that makes him a future Hall of Famer, but there's still a lot there. That being said, his value might never be higher than it is right now, and if you're looking at things on a week-to-week basis, they do have Seattle upcoming on a short week, and Seattle, the last few weeks, has still been tough against the run.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the adage, I want to sell the crap out of Adrian Peterson, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yes,
you
know, sell, but what you, I'm not just making that trade. I was the one saying sell him a couple of weeks ago. That schedule isn't bad. And if you're getting volume, look, they're going to run this old guy into the ground. 26 rushing attempts, 37 rushing attempts in 2 out of 3 weeks. You got to love volume in fantasy football, especially from your running back.
But I just don't know how many times more left this season they're going to have that game script. You knew that they were going to have a game script this week where they were going to be able to,
yeah,
to be
but
with.
If you look ahead, I think it's there, Corey.
You think it's there?
He's got, after this week, which is tough.
Short week, he does get Seattle.
The flip side is he gets the 10 days rest after this week. So he does get to
that's
recharge.
Who's come up coming
then
after
got,
Seattle?
After Seattle, he's got at Houston, Jacksonville, who's been terrible against the run. The Rams.
Marshall Darius, though, you know, looking a little better.
Titans, Washington, and Giants.
The Titans have been very tough against the run. And here's the other thing. You can't count on the game script being in his favor when you're not playing in the 49ers when you have Drew Stanton at quarterback.
I agree with you. Like I said, and I'm selling the crap out of this guy.
Here's the thing. Now, you talk about, you know, they can't run this guy into the ground. Well, we've said things about Adrian Peterson before, and he's proved us wrong. But I think the quarterback issue is big, and there are some tough run matchups outside of the Seattle game.
Listen, Corey, Adrian Peterson's 30 million years old.
Yeah.
I'm
selling.
Desperately trying
this
to sell
this
him.
This one, I think you can see because of the game script, the team they were going against, the fact that Stanton was the quarterback. They might as well just use him to go ahead and run the football and get the W and then start the bus up and get rolling. But he doesn't have too many more games like this inside of him. So I'm selling off of this experience right here.
I think he's still take advantage of a friendly matchup. I think we've seen that, okay? Who did he have the big game against his first game with the
Tampa
Cardinals?
Bay.
Against Tampa Bay. So he can take advantage of a friendly matchup.
Yeah.
So, you know, that I think he still has that in him. But, hey, if you could trade him for, like, if you could spin Adrian Peterson for a Devontae Parker and you need a wide receiver, I'd do it.
But that's my question.
Definitely.
Yeah. What are you selling him for? I'm willing to sell. I would buy maybe low. I don't think you're going to get that. But what are you selling? I'm not going to just sell him
a wide receiver too.
To say, look, I got to get out on this because the volume's there. You know he's going to get the goal line touches. And look, I was saying sell this guy a couple of weeks ago. Now, if you have the opportunity, somebody comes knocking on your door for Devontae Parker, yeah, that's a different story.
That's high right there.
Yeah, that's yeah.
I think you have to, though. We got to step outside of ourselves, though. And in a mainstream league, that's the kind of offer that you might see.
Don't put them down. Don't
I'm not putting
down.
No, let's
that's
get
what it feels like when you do that.
Let's get something straight, okay? I'm not putting down mainstream
league.
So
what did you just say? Oh, in a mainstream
what
league,
I'm saying
you might
is,
get Devontae Parker.
No, what
that's
I'm saying is,
Scott
look,
playing
I don't,
mainstream
look,
league. Look, Scott playing a league where he was able to pick up T.J. Yeldon yesterday. Look, morning. First serve.
Look, I'm not a snob.
So
you're like,
playing mainstream
league. I'm not like a snob like Corey
so
where
you
I'm like.
The mainstream
I'm like,
people down that you play with.
No, I'm not
you're
putting down
me
the
a
mainstream
snob.
League.
You're calling me a snob.
You're a snob because you don't even play in those type of leagues.
You're calling me a snob,
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, because you don't even play in those
no,
type
but you're
of
calling
leagues.
Me a snob. You know what I'm saying?
I
just
really
don't like
care about the perception. I really don't give a damn about the perception. I care about the advice. Okay, this is realistic. Sometimes when we comment, we say that's not going to happen, you know, in our league. There are other types of leagues out there where people feel differently. You could see an Adrian Peterson to Devontae Parker in a league that, you know, just people play, you know, in mainstream. I don't care if you're insulted. It's realistic. I don't
okay,
care.
Move on from that.
All right, I have a better one. Trip. All right, how about this? Would you do Adrian Peterson for Marquise Lee? That's realistic
to
me.
That's more realistic. No. Well, I want something more than Marquise Lee.
You want
I think,
more than
yeah,
Lee.
I want
Marquise
more than
Lee's
Adrian
not
Peterson for Demaryius Thomas.
That's not realistic.
not maybe
you
in your league.
You just went from Marquise Lee to Demaryius Thomas?
But you guys are not thinking outside yourselves. You know, it's like I see these kind of trades going down all
like
the
idiots.
Time. I talk to people on Twitter all the time. These kind of things go down. And it's not just a mainstream league. If you're more experienced than the rest of your league mates, you can pull this off.
I don't think Scott's so out there with this because I'm always hearing, like, Jake make comments. That, oh, yeah, it happens in these leagues and stuff like that.
Like, put it on this
so
all the time.
I just can't comprehend it.
Yeah,
that's
no, I'm with you.
Because you're not thinking outside yourself.
No, that's not the case at all that I'm not thinking outside myself. Maybe I just have more respect for people than these
I'm not.
Twitter trolls.
Look, I don't care about the perception. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. It's about giving the advice.
I'm not giving away Peterson with the volume that's going to be there. They have to run the ball. And look,
Nelson
I know
Aguilar.
It was the 49ers.
Nelson Aguilar.
I'll keep Peterson.
Yeah, I'd keep Peterson too.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Which look, if Stanton stays the quarterback, Stanton does love Fitzgerald. So I think that's a fair offer.
Jordy Nelson.
You I'm going to take Jordy.
That's the ideal kind of trade right
I
now.
I still, without seeing tonight's game, still have some hope for Hundley.
Yeah.
Even though maybe I shouldn't based on his things, but I still have some hope for him. So right now, without seeing that game, I probably do.
Paul Richardson.
That's too low.
Yeah. For the record, for me, I would take every player, outside of Paul Richardson, I will take every player that we named at this table over Adrian Peterson. Maybe I'm the low guy on AP. Maybe,
T.Y. Hilton?
Yes, I'll take T.Y., sure.
See, that's a trade where, like, you know, if I had Hilton, I wouldn't consider it. There's way too much upside with Hilton.
As you saw yesterday, of course, with that upside.
On my bench.
Well, let's just make a hypothetical.
Could you start over, Robbie Anderson?
Yep.
Yeah. What if Jordy has, say, 4 catches for 33 yards tonight? And then tomorrow morning you're off with, you know, Adrian Peterson, Jordy. Are you still doing that?
No, I'm keeping Jordy. I'm still keeping Jordy.
Okay.
Personally,
I would keep Jordy, but I think it's a fair trade.
That's me personally when it comes to keeping Jordy. I look at that AP schedule, which you read out a moment ago, Matt. It's not friendly by any means.
I don't think it's so hard. I don't really think it's that bad. I mean, there's maybe a couple of matchups.
AP or Ginn Jr.?
Oh, much rather have Ted Ginn Jr. Much rather have Ted Ginn Jr.
I think right now, you know, we were talking about this guy before. You might be able to swoop in and buy on like a Michael Crabtree right now. Especially if he's coming off a down game.
I can't. I just...
You know, might not do that, but somebody else might.
Maybe so. I mean, you know what? Yeah. Maybe they'll trade Antonio Brown for
him. Well, you know what? If you want to exaggerate and, like, dance around the point, go ahead.
That's just how I feel. I feel like you think you can trade
Antonio Brown
for
anybody. That's how you feel. You don't speak for everybody.
Look, I'm coming to the belief that,
right.
that this guy's trying
ranks?
To prove a point. And if he can survive this week, this short week, getting the 10 days off, and going at Houston.
Good matchup.
I like that. Then he's got Jacksonville after that.
That's not good. Marcell Dareus there now.
I'm a Bills fan. I've seen Marcell Dareus
held Joe Mixon to 30 yards yesterday.
Yeah. Look, that's a terrible, terrible line.
A lot of people still love the name Adrian Peterson, and I wouldn't be surprised in some leagues if you could pick up somebody who's panicky on DeAndre Hopkins and do that.
That's actually very interesting. I can see that one. That one I can see. We'll be back a little bit later on. Stick with Fantasy Sports Radio Network for more Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
I'm Albie Manzo from Manzo to the Children, and this is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
I want to give it Adrian Peterson. We're in the 50s, Matt. That's what's going on here. We're in the 50s. I'm enjoying it. In the Cardinals' 20-10 victory yesterday, Drew Stanton only completed 15 passes, but 3-for-2 over 200 yards, 3-for-2 touchdowns outside of Adrian Peterson's 159 yards rushing. Larry Fitzgerald led the way. He had 5-for-70, but you actually had 8 different Cardinals catch passes yesterday, including Jermaine Gresham, who had a touchdown. And then in his only catch of the day, Jerome Brown had a touchdown as well. So you saw Drew Stanton spread the ball out. But I'll say this, against Seattle, I'm a lot more scared of Drew Stanton than I was against San Francisco.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely scared. Look, this is a terrible matchup for the Cardinals on a short week and all that with Stanton. Old man Peterson, as we like to call him now, he is in football terms. But, I mean, Seattle, as good as that team is and we expect things, they have no running game, which is a boom for Russell Wilson, and he should be throwing the ball pretty much every time, in my opinion. So, I don't know. I think Seattle has a chance to be really – you expect that second-half surge from them, but that was a disappointing loss.
The – other side of it for San Francisco, Carlos Hyde rushed 12 times for 41 yards, but it was a monster in the passing game with C.J. Beathard. 9 catches for 84 yards, and then Matt Breida stole 2 catches for 18 yards after Carlos Hyde ridiculously got thrown out of this game. We lost a 100-yard game because of this, Matt.
No, we did. We lost points at the end, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody keeps saying Matt Breida's going to get that look. I don't think so. I think, especially now...
Now the trade deadline's gone.
No, this is why I don't think so. If they really want to get a good look at Jimmy G, say, after this bye...
Yeah.
They want their best.
Why wouldn't you put your best player
in
there? They will. Because you're going to be dropping a big bag, right, Corey?
Yeah.
On Jimmy G. So, and Hyde has done everything for you. He's a better back than... I don't need to see Matt Breida anything that's going to tell me that he's better than Carlos Hyde. If Carlos Hyde stays healthy, it's always been his fault. He's not on a good offense, and he still produces every week in fantasy.
Yeah, he was very active as a pass catcher yesterday. They really don't have anything else in that receiving game except maybe an occasional bomb to Marquise Goodwin that's going to hit or it's not going to hit. When this team can be competitive and stay in the game within 10 points, Hyde's going to be a thing.
No, I don't even think they need to. Hyde's going to be a thing anyway because this is their only offense. Dump to Hyde.
Carlos Hyde last year in 13 games had 27 receptions. In 9 games this year, he has 40 receptions.
It's great.
Yep.
So,
good.
I love Carlos Hyde.
He is the offense, like you said.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter if they're down 30-0 or down 10. He's the offense. It's awesome. Love it.
You just can't get thrown out.
Please don't get thrown out. That was so much. I've never seen Corey so many players get thrown out of a football game.
Yeah, it was a wild weekend. Yeah, it's a lot of emotions going crazy this weekend. So there you go. Right.
Maybe they were watching
a lot of damn thugs. Suspensions, you know, it's like... you know, is he, you know,
animals.
I'm not a UFC guy, but wasn't there like a really good card Saturday
yeah,
night?
TJ Dillashaw.
Maybe everybody was a little.
Maybe it was hyped
it,
up. From
it
that.
Started before the game with Fournette, you know, and
animals.
Somebody's second year running backs, you know, like Fournette and Ezekiel Elliott, they got to grow up, you know, be more like Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley. You know what I'm saying?
I think they're all just they're all angry.
They're immature.
They're immature because election day is tomorrow, and they're very, very concerned about what's going on in the political climate in this country. I think
that was it. Yes,
I think that's what it was with everything going on there. All right, we've talked about it a little bit off the air. Let's bring it in on the air. That was one of the battles in the NFC West. Let's talk about another NFC West team here in the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks fell to Washington at home 17-14 in a game they really should have won. Blair Walsh missed three.
I don't think they should have won it.
I mean, the kicker missed three field goals.
It was more than that.
Okay, can I stop the game now, please? Blair Walsh missed three field goals. That was 9 points left on the field. 14 plus 9 equals 23. 23-17.
But he didn't make the kick, so they shouldn't have won. You know, there were other issues other than that. There were a ton of, you know, penalties. Russell Wilson played a very uneven game. They did not deserve to win. Now, the defense...
defense was awesome yesterday.
The defense did their job, is what I'm saying. You know, Bradley McDougal did a nice job filling in for Earl Thomas.
They can't win without the general. You noticed that, right?
Other than two drives... You know, the defense did their job, but they shouldn't have won because it was more than just Blair Walsh. And if you don't execute, you don't win, period. You know, now but people look at the Seahawks and Blair Walsh.
He's lecturing the team.
People look at the Seahawks and Blair Walsh. And, you know, they want to have a piece of him because he's a kicker. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they cut him
By the way, I want to make this very clear. Yeah. Scott talking crap about the Seahawks is today's Monday moment without question. There is no doubt about that.
Well, you shouldn't lose it like to a team at Washington.
Yeah, but
like
time out here. With the Redskin offense was not threatening coming in. With, you know, no Jordan Reed.
No Jameson Crowder.
Crowder's out. Doxson and Pryor, you know, how many receptions do they have on the year?
12.
I mean, Thompson had been the guy.
He's probably right.
It wasn't about the defense.
It was about the defense in that last two minutes.
No, what I'm saying, no, though, they gave up just 17 points. Seattle, you know, didn't deserve to win the game because offensively they were very, very erratic yesterday. They started giving the ball to Lacy. Lacy had an 8-yard run, then he had a 7-yard run, then he injured his groin because that's Eddie Lacy, and then they abandoned the run pretty
much. Did you play him anyway yesterday?
Why would I play Eddie Lacy?
I'm just asking.
No, I did not.
Did you start
an active kicker yesterday?
But Russell Wilson's got to take some blame. He threw a couple bad picks.
He did. I said that. You know
Zach
what I'm saying?
Brown
it's on the it's on the offense.
Don't he let overshot, Russell off the hook, Scott.
He overshot some receivers. He threw two interceptions. He threw an interception on the 2-point conversion. The offense, but from a fantasy perspective,
he's been amazing.
He gave you 77 rushing yards.
Week three, he had one 15-point week, but he's been 30 points or more.
And he's going crazy.
He's awesome.
Our fantasy asset that owned.
The numbers were good, but it was a very uneven game from him.
You know, I
are you upset with him?
What?
Are you upset with him?
No.
Never.
No. he's like you, Corey. You can screw up constantly, and you know, like you do, and I still love him.
You know, I disagree a little bit. I thought Seattle thoroughly outplayed Washington throughout the game.
No, they didn't. They did not.
You can't tell me what I think. I'm telling you, I think they did.
I think you're wrong.
But that's fine.
We disagree.
You explained your point. You're not even letting me explain my point.
They were totally pressing
on... Yes, I know. You said all this already.
They were totally pressing on offense.
You said all this already. I'm going to tell you what I saw now. I watched Seattle, and I agree they were pressing on offense. But their defense clearly was good enough to win.
I don't blame the defense. Yeah.
We heard this already. Yeah. They allowed basically 10 points all games in the last 2 minutes. Seattle, I felt like, had the ball all game long. Obviously could not convert in the end zone, but time and time again, they drove down the field, and then they made a mistake. When they had this many opportunities, I get it that they lost because they could not convert those opportunities, but to me, it's a game they should have won because of how often they had those chances.
You can't say should have won and give...
I can't.
You have the lead.
When you say should have won,
win that game
you
home.
Can't give credit for something they didn't do. If you're throwing interceptions and you're missing field goals.
Man, you don't like that.
Well, no, it's the whole should have thing. It's like, it's the whole should have thing. I can say it because
you had the lead at home. This team needs
you. It's no should have. You throw interceptions, you miss kicks, you don't. You should have not won the game.
So,
there's only 2 minutes left.
Come on, Seattle.
They lost.
The past, when they've had a lead with 2 minutes left,
they closed.
They closed.
They didn't have they closed. But that has nothing to do with yesterday. They shouldn't have won the game. But they didn't deserve to win it.
That's my point.
Should have is giving credit for something you didn't do.
What?
Should have is giving you credit and saying, oh, you could have won the game. You should have won the game.
Sure.
No, they shouldn't have because they missed three kicks. They threw two interceptions.
And yet they still led with 2 minutes to go.
No, but that's the difference between winning and losing. Then they let them drive down the field. No, they should have not won the game because they didn't do what it takes to win a game.
So
needed a touchdown to take
hold
that.
Hold on. So to be fair, you say, so whenever a team loses, you would never say they should have won.
I'm not saying anything is absolute. Okay, I'll go back.
So like last week, should the Texans have won that game last week?
I'll go back to like, remember the Hail Mary with Golden Tate?
Sure.
Green Bay should have won the game because that was the wrong call, right?
But that's a different scenario. That was the ref screwed them, right?
If like you saying, don't make the plays to win the game, you should. I don't say you shouldn't have. You should have won the game.
I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't have any stats, but if Seattle's had the lead with less than a touchdown with 2 minutes to go over the last decade or more, I'm pretty sure they have a fantastic record.
They do. The percentages are high, but you know. It didn't happen yesterday.
Correct. It didn't.
And you weren't blaming the defense. So back to my point. The defense has to close there. They're home. They shut them down.
What I'm saying is the defense allowed 17 points. So a lot of it, I'm not saying totally. They didn't bog that. But when you give up 17 points, you know, but they had to overcome three missed field goals and two interceptions. We can't.
Seattle falls to Washington 17-14. Tyler Walsh misses three kicks, as we said. Russell Wilson led the team in rushing 77 yards. Eddie Lacy gets hurt, predictably. Thomas Rawls comes out, 9 carries for 39 yards. So, congratulations to those who picked this
week. He was breaking arm tackles and running to the secondary, and they stopped handing him the ball.
I will not recommend you picking up Thomas Rawls, for the record. I will not do it.
I'm with you on that.
Doug Baldwin was Doug Baldwin. I mean, he was.
Yep.
7 for 108 in a touchdown, including the 30
second
yard,
half Dougie.
The 30-yarder that could have been the game winner. Some would say at this side of the table should have been the game winner. Others on that side of the table would not say that. But he made an unbelievable move on Josh Norman to break the dude's ankles, got wide open on the right side. It was incredible. I mean, it crushed me in fantasy football, but it was an awesome, awesome move. Jimmy Graham at 5 for 59. He had a drop too, right, Scotty?
He had a drop on a 2-point conversion.
Conversion, right?
And he still gets double digits. I'm just saying that the first 2 weeks were terrible, but
and also this is why you don't start Tyler Lockett.
You know what? It's exactly what I was about to say. Like, I talked to Tyler Lockett all week. He was targeted 8 times. I was right about that. But the problem was 2%.
But see, that process was right, though. If you were told before the game he's going to get 8 targets, he's a flex option. In my opinion,
I agree.
You got to start him.
Maybe with 6, he was on a bye, but Lockett often has those type of games. Can't trust him.
Paul Richardson, on the other hand, was interesting. Only targeted 3 times. Caught all 3 passes for 41 yards, but only targeted 3 times. Lockett targeted 8 times. I was like, man, that was a flex option for those who started him. Obviously, it did not work out. All right, take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the other side of the field with the Washington football team, and we'll do it when we come back. Roto Experts, sponsored by DX Racer.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Fantasy Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for those thinking of giving DFS a try. It's for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs the NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. All right, we talked about the Seattle defeat from the Seattle side of things. Of course, your Monday moment for those that missed it. Scott talking crap about the Seattle Seahawks.
On the other animated and angry Scott.
Animated and angry Scott. Check out On Target later today. Jake Seeley will give away a pair of skicks if you can tell him what today's Monday moment was. It's On Target today. Now, on the other side of things for Washington, there's a lot of heat with Kirk Cousins and where to rank him, Scott. I know we had this discussion quite a bit last week. I know you have him at number 8, Scott. Was that where you went?
I moved him down to number 11.
You moved him down to 11. It was all said and done on Sunday. I know Jake had him outside his top 12 all week.
Yeah.
And I stuck with him. And threw him out there. He threw for 247 yards. Did not get in the end zone as Rob Kelly kind of vultured that twice on the day. Kelly, 14 carries, just 18 yards, but he had to start him. It worked out okay because he scored those two touchdowns plunging in from the goal line.
The most inefficient 13 points you'll ever get. As far as Cousins, I almost like took your advice because like Hundley was not available in one of my leagues.
Yeah.
And I almost started Brissett over Cousins, but then I couldn't do it. Cousins, the fantasy numbers weren't there, but he made the plays that he needed to when his team needed to win the game. This is why he's going to get a lot of money in free agency.
Yeah.
And this is why when he has a better matchup, you roll him out there without question.
He plays Minnesota next week, I'll tell you that much.
And then after Minnesota, he's at New Orleans. So.
Oh, God. So
what
annoying.
Used to look good does not look good.
This is why you don't look at deep season schedules during the summer.
Yeah, it obviously can change on a dime. The leading wide receiver for Washington, or leading pass catcher, I should say, for Washington, was Vernon Davis. And that was kind of predictable. 6 for 72. We knew, and Scott's spoken about this before, a way to beat the Seattle defense is with that tight end through the seam. And Vernon Davis played really hard, played really well yesterday with those 6 catches. He was hit very hard by Cam Chancellor, got knocked out of the game, came back in, and he held on to some really tough balls thrown in tight windows. So nice job there by VD. And this is the problem here. We've said this before with Chris Thompson. You can have one of these games. 4 carries, 20 yards, 4 catches, 11.
Yeah, but Chris Thompson, I know I always hear this about these pass-catching backs, PPR backs, whatever you want to call them. Top backs have bad games, too.
Definitely. You know? Yeah. Definitely.
So, look, with Chris Thompson, if I own him in a PPR, I'm starting pretty much every week. You're going to have a bad week. Yes, that's going to happen. But what this guy's done for you, I mean, pretty much he's gotten 15 points or more in every week except for 2. So you really can't be complaining.
Look, they were on him. They knew watching the film that every time that he gets the ball that he could go to the house. So they were on him every single time. That said, let me ask you this, Greg.
Yes, sir.
Would you trade Adrian Peterson to get Chris Thompson right now?
I want Chris Thompson.
I would much rather have Chris Thompson.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's something
you can do.
I don't agree with that again. We disagree on Adrian Peterson's value. Like, Chris Thompson was the top 6
That's how you value him, but other people value him differently.
If you need a running back, then he's going to go high.
I'm saying some leagues you can go out and offer this and maybe get Chris Thompson back.
Or you can get somebody saying, what the F is wrong with you?
Right, it depends on what league you play in.
Sure.
Yeah, and who you play with.
Josh Doctson had 3 for 59, including the 38-yard catch on the left sideline, where whoever the other quarterback was, Scott, made a really nice play to actually touch him at that last second. It was frustrating to me, but...
Yeah, I was like, oh, God... But hey, look, at least he caught that pass. He got almost 10 points.
He was very concerned about just holding on to that ball and catching
it. It was a big catch. It won the game.
Yeah, it could have been a touchdown because Shaq Griffin was still playing college football in his head and didn't touch him.
Yeah,
and Bradley McDougal came over and touched him, you know, preventing the touchdown.
Correct.
Yeah.
So you had that by Doctson. Terrell Pryor, 2 catches for 17 yards.
Did draw a pass interference penalty to set up a touchdown.
A hell of a catch by Brian Quick. He got lit off.
Hell of a catch by Brian Quick.
Where did he come from all of a sudden?
Like, you hear the anger.
How he turned on that ball and stuff, and then he got, you know, laid out. But
So that was like, he got laid out. I mean, Seattle hits hard. We know that. Mm-hmm. They hit hard and make you pay for the catch against them. Happened with Doxson, happened with Quick, happened with Vernon Davis. All these guys got back up. Major credit goes to them. I thought Ryan Grant could be more involved. He was without Jamison Crowder. He had 3 for 39.
There were a lot of people like saying like Grant, you know, could be a really deep play, like if you needed wide receiver help and it didn't pan out.
So you saw Doxson didn't get touched. Stopped at the 1 yard line. They converted in the next play. T.Y. Hilton also didn't get touched during yesterday's game. And he didn't stop. He got that. He waited a little bit, got back up, ran to the end zone. And credit,
I was cheering that play.
I was giving the T.Y. in my living room yesterday. And credit here actually goes to, I guess, the side judge who didn't blow the play dead by accident and cost his team a touchdown. He ran right with them, called the touchdown. They called the touchdown on the field. Nothing was caught. And there you go. T.Y. Hilton finishes yesterday's game. 5 catches on 9 targets for 175 yards, including the 80-yard touchdown that we just mentioned. And listen, credit where it's due. Again, Chuck Pagano said, we have to get T.Y. Hilton the ball more. They made a concerted effort to do that. T.Y. Hilton and Jack Doyle, the leaders on this team on the offense, and it worked out yesterday, Scott.
Yeah, you know, to credit to Jacoby Brissett for great film study and to the Colts for great game planning, because if you saw the Texans film from the previous week, their secondary was getting lit up by passes over the top. And that's exactly what Brissett do. They bought on so many play action fakes the week before against a team that wasn't even running the ball.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett, play action fake, over the top, boom. I really believe like the two secondaries that are playing the worst in the NFL right now are the Texans and the Giants. And you know, teams are just going to keep taking advantage.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And look, you have to start T.Y. Look, I know Corey made the right decision the week prior when he started Robbie Anderson, and Robbie Anderson got the points and stuff. But it's tough to bench T.Y. I understand the matchups and stuff, but he can do this on any given week.
So I don't necessarily agree, Matt. Like, I think it depends on your lineup. It depends on your roster, obviously. But when it comes to T.Y., like, I almost want to play matchups a little bit. Like, this week, I knew, like, against the Texans.
Well, home road.
Home road, sure. Yeah. But against, in a matchup that, like, the Texans are playing arguably the worst defense in the secondary in football right now, I was starting T.Y. Hilton without question.
My point is, in a 3-wide receiver league, then you have a flex. It's tough for me not to play that upside.
So listen, I'm gonna be very honest. I'm gonna give you my team here. Julio Jones, I'm starting every week. Michael Crabtree, I was starting. Okay, so then I have 3 guys for 2 more spots. I have T.Y. Hilton, I have Larry Fitzgerald, and I had Davante Adams. This week, where they all have plus matchups, I didn't know which direction to go in all honesty. I wound up starting T.Y., and I started Larry Fitzgerald. I didn't start Davante Adams tonight. Would I make the right decision? Certainly with Hilton, I did. I don't know that I did with Adams over Fitzgerald. I don't know.
What you're saying is it's not a slam dunk anymore. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, you're right. But I think you made the right decision in the fact that we know Stanton loves Fitzgerald.
And the matchup was really good. So that's why I did it. But I'm saying last week I benched T.Y. in the same situation.
Well, and fair enough.
And the schedule for T.Y. is interesting. He plays Pittsburgh next Sunday. It's at home, so that's good. I don't know. Then you get the Titans a couple weeks later after their bye, so that's good. And then you get the Jaguars. I don't want to play T.Y. against the Jaguars in Jacksonville. It's a disaster. Then the playoffs start in Buffalo. The only home game of his playoff schedule is against the Broncos. And then in Baltimore, which is terrible.
That is a terrible schedule.
It's a terrible schedule.
Denver did get lit up yesterday, but it was by Carson Wentz. But they're not looking quite what they used to be because the defense is spending a lot of time on the field. But almost he's saying like, He's not a slam dunk. He's a streamer. I don't want to start him against Pittsburgh and Jacksonville.
Or Baltimore. Or this is maybe not Denver either. So, tough schedule for T.Y.
Denver turns things around by then.
Corey, I said this before. I'm going to try to trade T.Y. this week.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. It's a situation that I don't want to have to deal with anymore. Yeah. You don't know whether to put him in your lineup or leave him on your bench. I would like him off my team at this point.
Exactly.
You know what's disgusting, though? It's like that secondary's playing so horrible. And I think Dante Moncrief, he had like 1 catch.
Yeah, 1 catch for 7 yards, 2 targets. Yeah, I mean, he's not. Dante Moncrief's not a thing.
Not at all.
You want T.Y. Hilton, you want Jack Doyle. That's about it. Frankie Gore actually led this team in carries yesterday. He was all over the field. He played well yesterday.
He ran hard yesterday.
He did. Yeah. I mean, I know he only had 51 yards rushing, but it felt like more because he ran hard, as you said, Scott. Yeah. 51 yards rushing. He had 26 yards receiving, catching three passes. Marlon Mack did not have a single catch in this one. He ran the ball 9 times for just 29 yards. Frankie Gore was the leader on the backfield yesterday.
Yeah, and he's probably continued to be that way moving forward. I understand we all love Marlon Mack and what he can do. I think that kid production is going to be very inconsistent, though, so you need to temper your expectations every time you put him in your starting lineup.
I don't think you know which guy is going to be week to week. Last week it was Mack. This week it was Gore. It's a hot hand kind of thing. Sometimes it's style, you know, because Marlon Mack is the speed guy, and certain front sevens may be more susceptible to speed, so it depends on the matchup.
Yeah, so I agree, it depends on the matchup, and that's what I liked about Jacoby Brissett was this matchup. Is a bottom five defense. We know Houston's is playing terribly. Brissett comes in, throws for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, and it's crazy. I read a lot of articles this week about Andrew Luck, and there is like legit concern for his future, gentlemen. Like, all right, the trade for Jacoby Brissett obviously worked out incredibly well for Indianapolis. Yeah. They got a quarterback like could start in the NFL that isn't you know, one of these worst guys.
Yeah.
And going forward next year, I mean, they're talking about looking for a quarterback in the draft. They're looking about going forward Brissett. I'm like, whoa.
We talked to Dr. A yesterday. Andrew Luck is a long way off.
Like, will he be back September?
Dr. A was like, it could depends on if he could very well require another surgery.
Yeah.
Oh boy. With Jacoby Brissett, it kind of reminds me of Tyrod Taylor sat behind Joe Flacco all those years, mm-hmm. and then they gave him the opportunity and always wanted to look to replace him, but he played well. I'm wondering if Jacoby Brissett could end up being the next Tyrod Taylor.
Hey, that's not so wrong. I mean, he doesn't run nearly as well as Tyrod Taylor does, but I see what you're saying with the comparison. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. What do the Texans do with Tom Savage at quarterback? Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins specifically? We'll tell you next on the Roto Experts, sponsored by DX Racer.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
The big news from last week, of course, was the fact that Deshaun Watson out for the year with that torn ACL, which meant Tom Savage was the new starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. And in his first game against an Indianapolis team that's very, very beatable, he threw for 219 yards, 1 touchdowns, no interceptions. He took 2 sacks, held the ball a little bit shorter than he did in that opening week start, and he actually found DeAndre Hopkins a bunch. He targeted DeAndre Hopkins 16 times on Sunday.
Yeah, with 10 of them being incomplete.
10 of them being incomplete. 6 receptions, 86 yards, and a touchdown. He's going to look at DeAndre Hopkins.
He's going to look to DeAndre Hopkins, but if it's off the wall for a double, what difference does it make?
Well, I'll take doubles. Doubles are fine.
Yeah, but doubles are baseball. DeAndre Hopkins play football. You know, 16 targets is wonderful, but if 10 of those targets are haywire, then
one of them gets 6 for 80, though, and a touchdown, because as badly as he played, though,
they can't sit him.
He dropped a real dime to him on that touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Hopkins is making plays, you know. You feel fine. You feel okay if you're DeAndre Hopkins owner.
You feel okay because you know the volume is going to be there.
He's not
going to
be as irrelevant as he was with Brock Osweiler in there. How bad was Brock Osweiler when Savage can get him to him for that many times?
It's a little bit of a sigh of relief for DeAndre Hopkins.
No doubt.
On Sunday after
seeing this. Could at least be a wide receiver two for me.
Exactly, Scott.
Yeah.
Will Fuller, on the other hand, you can't breathe that sigh of relief whatsoever. No. 2 for 32. He was targeted 8 times. It's a positive.
He had a nice catch and run over the middle.
Which is what you need, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Will Fuller, it's a disaster.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty much for anybody else, you know, in that passing game at all. It's like, you know, they're not relevant.
No, they're not relevant at all. Lamar Miller carried the ball 10 times for 57 yards. I guess Deontay Foreman clearly got benched last week for, you know, walking out on the team.
Yeah.
When you're DeAndre Hopkins, you can do whatever you want. When you're Deontay Foreman, a rookie, is
you
back.
Can't do it.
You can't
different
do it.
Story.
It's
you feel what I'm
story.
Saying? It's
Again,
not,
you know,
be
these rookie and second year running backs like Foreman, you know, and Fournette and Ezekiel Elliott, they got to grow up. You know, be more like, you know, Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley. You know what I'm saying?
I was waiting for
you. I don't know if I agree with that.
Listen, I don't. Deontay Foreman's a little bit different. What he did was a little bit different than a Leonard Fournette missing workouts and stuff.
Ezekiel Elliott didn't do nothing.
And he's been a model teammate. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Foreman.
None.
I'm sorry?
It's the truth.
He didn't do nothing.
Well, I mean, he didn't do anything to his teammates.
No, but I'm saying, you know, it's like, you know, you can question a lot of these guys' behavior.
Well, I'm not questioning Foreman's behavior after what his owner said. Let him do whatever he wants.
All right, but still, Fournette and Elliott, you know, they're not putting themselves in the best situation.
No, they're not. I'll
you know,
say
you
that.
Don't hear nothing about Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley getting suspended.
Well, not yet.
Yeah.
Foreman actually out-carried Miller yesterday, 11-10, but it was Miller that had the better game, 57 yards rushing compared to 37 yards rushing. Ryan Griffin left this game with a concussion. So he's going to be out. It does look like C.J. Fedorowicz is coming back soon enough, so there you go. But that's useless now, of course, with Sean Watson no longer being the quarterback of the Houston Texans. Bruce Ellington had 3-22. He was also targeted 8 times. With backup tight end Steven Anderson, 4-44.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe look, Fedorowicz tight end is kind of desolate.
Yeah.
I think it's somebody you continue to monitor though.
Hey, I did want
because you know yesterday look how we had to scramble to the waiver wire. I know six teams were on a bye, but people were using Jonnu Smith, Gerald Everett, Tyler Higbee, you know, people like that.
But a lot of it was matchup based, right? Like you started the Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee because they faced the Giants. You were going to start Jonnu Smith because of Delanie Walker's injury. So those kind of made sense this week.
Yeah, but still, you were going to the bottom of the barrel.
Sure. I did want to mention this when it came to Tampa Bay. I forgot to. Doug Martin was just a disaster.
I mean, that was negative game script for him yesterday.
But that's your point.
I don't even think it was negative game script for him. They was because he was out of there by the third quarter.
Correct.
They were swarming him on every single carry.
I mean, but this
that
is,
defense really played well.
Scott, this
the
is
run.
Your boy, Doug Martin. Eight carries for 7 yards.
That's your man.
Yeah. It's like
Peyton Barber at 11 carries.
I know, good garbage time. They pulled him out by the third quarter. There was nothing for Doug Martin yesterday.
That's unacceptable.
Very concerned about that.
That's unacceptable.
Well, you should be.
Yeah. Did you start O.J. Howard?
No, I didn't. I started Jared Cook.
That worked out okay. How about for me?
It worked out okay.
Doug Martin has not totaled over 74 yards this season.
Top 12 running back going forward.
I don't think so.
No. You told everybody last week.
I was wrong on it. I'm looking wrong on it.
Origami.
By the way, against me over the weekend, somebody had O.J. Howard in their starting lineup all week long.
You played Corey?
Corey didn't start O.J. Howard.
Oh, okay.
But I played somebody else that had O.J. Howard in their lineup all week long. And on Sunday morning, putting Trey Burton.
That's nice.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Are you freaking
first come,
kidding
first
me?
Serve.
Philadelphia Eagles fan is what it was.
Yeah, there was so much first come, first serve. I got a lot on Twitter. Higbee or Burton?
That's a lot. Hell of a question. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll be live on TV. And we'll talk more about all around the NFL, including the Cowboys, the Giants, and a hell of a lot more. So, Roto-Expert, sponsored by DX Racer.